Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier in our service, we'll be following the reading, which was the second reading of the day, as it was recorded for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I share with you again just the opening and closing. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then he closed that section. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, over the past weeks, I have visited members. Two of them were in hospice care. Two of them were in at-home hospice care. And one was in the hospital. Four of the five of them have been called to glory. Why do I bring this up? Just to start something with a sad bit of news? I bring it up because there was something special about all five visits. About all five times that I was able to visit with them and talk to them, knowing that, and they knew, they were going to go to glory. They were going to die very soon. But there was a special peace in the room. They weren't disquieted. They weren't upset. They weren't worried. They weren't fretting. Even though they were going to go into what is unknown for all of us who are alive, what it would be like to die. But they knew where they were going. And that provided them a peace that you can't really ever describe. A calm. Actually, in some cases, a little bit of an excitement. Because they knew they were going to see Jesus. They were going to meet him face to face and spend an eternity in something that was perfect. In a place that was in the presence of Jesus without sin, without trouble, without error, without illness, without any of the problems they'd experienced. They were going to see Jesus. And they knew they were going there, not because they felt that they have lived such a good life, but they knew what Jesus had done for them. That by his sacrifice, by his perfect life, innocent death, by his resurrection, he had given them the gift of eternity themselves, a gift of grace, totally from his mercy. They knew that. They were confident of that. And so there really was no fear. I often say how precious it must be to one day close your eyes and then you open them and you get to see Jesus. And you get to see perfection that you've never witnessed before. This is what Paul was telling Timothy to tell other people about. To preach the word, to preach the good news of the gospel so that others might have that wonderful hope, that confidence that this world is not all there is. This life with all its pain, all its suffering, and all its heartache, that's not what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. And so we focus on that this day. As we hear Paul writing to Timothy, it's a letter written for us as well, to know the peace that comes from our Savior Jesus Christ. A peace we know, a peace we share, a peace we look forward to enjoy. Now, as we look at this, Paul is writing the second letter, and he knows that he is towards the end of his life. So he is going to be stepping out of the picture, you might say. He won't be there to do the preaching and teaching that he had been on his missionary journeys. Journeys that were fraught with trouble and persecution and pain and arrest and beatings. He wasn't going to be there anymore. He wasn't going to be there to lead the way, you might say, to have Timothy look up to him and maybe ask him questions or instruct him. And so he knew that if he was not going to be there, he best have those prepared to continue his work, that vital work of sharing the gospel. So he writes to Timothy, And he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. He says, as God as a witness to what I am telling you, so that you can't say, well, I didn't hear it, or I didn't know about it, or you never told me. With God as a witness, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word. Herald what God had told them, what he had learned from the scriptures, and what he had learned from Paul about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about his innocent suffering and death, about all that Jesus had done. He says, now you go and preach that. Oftentimes to people who didn't want to hear it. They don't like being told that there's someone in charge, someone who can tell them what to do, when to do it, how to do it, to live their life. They don't want to listen to the Creator. They'd rather listen to themselves. And Timothy no doubt witnessed how much Paul had endured as he shared the gospel. And Paul just says, God is my witness. You go and preach. You go and tell the people what they need to hear, what they need to do, what they need to believe. Sadly, it's been in the paper any number of times when tragedies strike. I'm talking about tragedies like forest fires and the like. And there are people that are warned, you must leave, you must go. They know the risk, but they choose not to listen. That doesn't mean we don't tell them. No, you still go and tell them. You still tell them you must leave when a hurricane is coming, as I understand is coming in a couple days again. When a hurricane is coming, you have to prepare. You need to listen. Timothy, go preach the word. Go tell people what you know to be true and changeless. He says, preach it. And then notice, with great patience and careful instruction. Now, we often think of preaching the word as something maybe somebody like I do, where we're in a pulpit and we get to preach to people. You know, preaching the word is just as simple as living it out in our life. There's always someone watching. There's always someone watching all of us, and now especially, there's cameras all over the place. A lot of people are watching. There's cameras in the doorbells. There's cameras on all the streets at all the stoplights. There's cameras on the expressway. There's cameras around the yards. There's always someone watching. Let us preach the word. Preach our love for the Savior, our conviction to know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Those are more valuable sermons than any that I could ever write, as people see it lived out in Christians' lives. Now, as we think about this, he tells him with great patience and careful instruction. He says, I want you to be very patient. They won't always listen. It's kind of like being a parent, isn't it? I don't know too many children that respond right away when mom or dad tell them something to do, that they respond right away at the first time. They probably have to be told a number of times, and so patiently, mom will repeat it over and over. Dad will say it again and again. And yet, what do we know? With patience and careful instruction, they eventually get to doing it. But you do need that patience, don't you? Even with all those who are children of God. And he goes on from there. He says, for there will come a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. He says, there's going to come a time people aren't going to want to listen to the word of God. They're not going to want to listen to what God has to say. They're not going to want to listen to the truth that is changeless and pure. Oh no, they want to follow their own ways. And they'll gather around themselves any number of people who agree with them. And they'll make their own gods. We wouldn't necessarily in the paper find them saying this is idolatry, but it is. When they decide that killing unborn children is considered health care. Gather around yourself people who would agree with that, that children are a choice within the womb. We think about as God has arranged marriage and as God has arranged the genders. Well, they'll decide for themselves what they want to do, what they want to be, who they want to marry. Matter of fact, they'll even dedicate a summer month to that sin. We see this. We see this, and what are they doing? They're not listening to what God has to say. They want to know what their itching ears want to say. Tell me what I want to hear. I had a dentist as a child who never used Novocaine or any numbing solutions, and he would drill down. And you could always tell when he was getting near a nerve. Oh, and you can always tell when he hits the nerve as the drill goes down. What you really wanted, what I always wanted the dentist to say was, hey, good checkup, no cavities, no problems. I didn't hear that very often as a child. Oh, but I wanted to hear it. But if I would hear that and there were problems there, well, that wouldn't do me any good either, would it? God has said what the problem is, and the problem is sin. It's sin within our hearts. It's that natural inclination to do what Satan wants and not what God wants. And the Lord tells us now, follow this. Timothy, there's going to be a time people are going to turn away from the truth of God's word. They're going to try and follow their own way of thinking. They're going to blame other things. It's fascinating right now. Just take a look at the natural situation of the earth right now. There have been droughts in some areas. There are still droughts. Out on the West Coast, there was terrible droughts for years. And now the lakes are filled. Overflowing in some cases. There was too much rain. There's a forest fire going, and some of the forest fighters said it's unstoppable. They can't stop it. Smoke is coming south, covering the states, making the air difficult to breathe in New York, darkening the sun, changing the color of the sky from fires going on. There's an active volcano in Hawaii, an active volcano in Italy, an active volcano in Mexico. There are earthquakes, a recent one just off the coast, 6.4, fairly substantial earthquake. There has been pestilence, there have been illnesses and diseases. There are cancers that don't have a cure. There are problems. And what do people want to say? Well, they got to blame something, so it's got to be climate change. Do you think they'd ever look at what God has to say? And these things will occur, and then the end will come. Think about it. All the things Jesus said would happen before he would come in judgment, they're all being fulfilled right before our eyes. The wars, the rumors of wars, all the way people misbehave toward each other, the way they hate each other. This is the life we live in. Paul told Timothy, you be patient. You be careful in instruction, because there will come this time. Folks, the time is now. If it was there at the time of Timothy, oh, it's there now. People are turning their ears away from God, turning a deaf ear to God, deciding for themselves who will be their God, and many times it's themselves. And what do we know about ourselves? We're very faulty to be God. He says, I want you to preach the word. I want you to keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. He says, through all the hardship, through all the heartache, let's not just wring our head and complain about it. Let's live for Christ. Let's change our attitude toward others to be one of love, even if we don't agree with them, even if it's, as Jesus would point out, love your enemies. Yes, let's do that, which is difficult and hard. Paul knew that he was going to be gone. Someone would need to carry on. He was telling Timothy, I want you to preach the word. And I want you to preach, and I want you to be ready in season and out of season. There is no time off. There are no vacations for being a Christian. There is no time to just let loose and say, I want to do something different. No. God says, I want you to be in season and out of season, sharing the good news of salvation. Because this is what Paul also knew. What I shared with you about the rooms that I visited and the people I visited, the calm there. Listen to the Apostle Paul. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. He says he's being poured out like a drink offering. In the Israel offerings, you would pour the libation over the offering and it would just pour out. Similar, well, think about it. If on a Thanksgiving dinner you had that beautiful brown turkey and you decided to take a glass of wine and just pour it over the turkey and it would just go all over the tray and all over everything. That's the way Paul was feeling now. He was being spent. He was feeling that there was nothing there, no energy really left. And he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure has come. He knew his walk on this earth was going to close off very quickly for him. And what did he say? He says, but I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Three wonderful little phrases, isn't it? I have fought the good fight. He didn't fight a fight that wasn't worth fighting for. He fought the one that Jesus had directed him to fight, the one against Satan himself, the one against all the evils and troubles of this world. He says, I fought that fight, and I fought it well. I didn't quit. Anyone can quit, right? Anyone can give up. Anyone can say, it's too hard. I often think about the wrestling coach who's on the side of the mat yelling at his wrestler. And if it looks like they're starting to get gassed a little bit, get tired, he starts yelling out the time. He'll say 30 seconds, figuring that you can hang in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep the fight. Paul says, I fought that fight, and I fought it to the end. And then what? I have finished the race. They say that in the marathon, now you can look at me and know that this is not a marathoner talking to you, but in a marathon, you reach a point towards the latter part of the race. They call it hitting the wall, where you've used up all the energy in your cells and all the sugars are gone and everything else, and you're going to have to really concentrate. But the wall is where many people quit. They'll say they can't go on. They can't take another step. Paul says, I finished the race. It was difficult and it was hard. Yes, I was beaten. And I was abused, and I was shipwrecked, and I was imprisoned, and I was whipped and flogged. But I finished the race. Folks, we know that there's all kinds of heartache in this world and all kinds of heartache in our life. A lot of things in our lives, right, that don't happen and to go off the way we want them to go. And Paul says, finish the race. Because you know who you're running with. You know who has already finished the race for you and did it perfectly. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now the important one, I have kept the faith. Satan wasn't going to take it away. He wasn't going to take it away because things didn't go my way. He wasn't going to take my belief in God and his great love for me. He wasn't going to take it away. I kept the faith. Then what? Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. He finished the race. He kept the faith. He fought the good fight. And now there's the reward. Not because of what he had done, but because of God's grace and mercy. There is the Savior. And he uses the illustration of a crown that says, here, you have won. You are now my child. Enjoy the kingdom I have prepared for you. It was waiting for him by God's grace. Well done, good and faithful servant. To think about stepping into glory is what brings peace to the hospice room, to the hospital room, to the hospital bed in the living room. It's what brings peace because we know for a fact God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son. Through that gift, we have been given life everlasting. It is that wonder that we are to share, because Paul closed that off when asked, after being told he would be getting this crown. He says, what? Not only to me, though, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul says, that crown of righteousness, it's ours through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. A gift we can be confident of getting. It's a gift that is given, and we have to understand the time is soon. He talks about Timothy that go preach the word. Why? Because it's going to be soon that Jesus is coming. We need to do the same as Timothy was instructed. Preach the word. Oh, whatever pulpit God gives you. If it's the pulpit of being at home and being mom, if it's the pulpit of being dad, if it's the pulpit of being a faithful co-worker, a faithful employee, a faithful employer, if it's the position and the pulpit to be a friend, a classmate, go into that pulpit and preach the word. Preach the love of Jesus Christ, because we all need to hear it. We all need to know it, because we have been blessed to know Jesus Christ. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. That wasn't just for Timothy. That was for you. To the glory of God, live your life in praise and love for him. Amen. Now may the peace that comes from knowing the Savior and the gift of everlasting life he has promised us, ever keep your hearts and minds in that true faith till we stand with Jesus in glory everlasting. Amen.